Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Chaf Gimel. We left off on daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis at the Mishnah on Chaf Beis Amud Beis, and the Mishnah is going to discuss how they would lift up the torches before the Zman that they were Mekabel, that before the Zman that the Kutim were Mekalkel the whole system, but they used to lift up torches in order to let the Bnei Agola and all of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael know about the new Chodesh. Then I forgot to mention, today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Vivian and Menachem Rosenberg and family to commemorate the Shlosh of Menachem's father, Yisrael ben Avraham Moshe, Zichron al-Vrach, on the 29th of Cheshvan. Also sponsored by Dr. David Bellison, in memory of his father's Haskara, which was yesterday, Meir Chaim Rachamim ben Rivka, Alav HaShalom. Also by Ellen and Avi Freilich to commemorate the yahrzeit of Avi's mother, Yehudit Freilich, Yehudit Bas Reuven, Alav HaShalom, which is this Wednesday, Neshama Shavna Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So again, first the Mishnah is going to talk about the system of Masi and Masuos. Then we're going to talk about why they only did this system for a Chodesh that was Chaser, but when the Chodesh that was Mali, they just wouldn't lift torches at all, and people would figure it out from that. Then the Gemara is going to list different types of Erez wood, since the torches that were made to that they lit on the mountaintops was made out of Erez, so the Gemara is going to have a discussion how many types of Erez are there. Then the Gemara is going to have three different Divrei Agada from Rabbi Yochanan, the first of which relates to precious wood, and that comes up in the context of talking about the Erez wood. And then on the top of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the exact locations of the torch lighting and the distance between the mountains that they lit the torches on. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis, or the first Mishnah on Amud Beis, is going to talk about the Tchum limitations for those Edim who arrived from outside of the Tchum in order to say Edus, and also for people who go to do other mitzvos, other life-saving missions and the like, if they come from outside of the Tchum, what are their limitations? And then the second Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about how they would question the Edim, what types of questions they would ask the Edim in the context of Eidus HaChodesh. So let's begin again at the Mishnah on Chaf Beis Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, Barishonai Masiyim Nasuos. They used to light torches on the mountaintops on, for every month after Beis Amud Mekadish LeChodesh, and that's how they would let everybody know that it was Rosh Chodesh. Mishikilku HaKutim. But when the Kutim started messing things up and they would light their own torches on the mountaintops to confuse people, Hiskinu Sheyu Shluchin Yotzin. They had to make a takana that they would do a less efficient system of having shluchim go out, of having shluchim bezin go out. When they would light the torches, it's obviously the quickest way to get the word out, and people would find out in a timely fashion, and therefore that's what Sfasem is right, that was a better system. Problem is, once the Kutim made it impossible, so then they would send shluchim instead. Ketarei Masin Masuos, what was the process of lifting these torches? So Mavin Klunsa'ul Shal Erez Arukin, they would bring poles of Erez wood that were long poles, V'kanavats Yisham Nor Shal Pishtan, and they would add flammable material to the edge of the pole, the korich b'mashicha, and they would wrap all of this material together with some type of rope. Va'ola l'rosh ha'har, and they'd go to the top of the mountain. U'matzis ben asa'or, and they would light it on fire. U'moluch mevi malu maurid, they would wave it in four directions so that people should realize that it's a torch and they shouldn't think it's a star or something like that. When you see the movement, you see how it moves, it's clearly being moved by a human being. You're going to realize that it's not just a natural phenomenon. Adshu roes chavero, until someone standing on the next mountaintop was able to see that one, shehuo sakein brosha harasheni, that he was doing the same thing on the second mountaintop, meaning it was a signal to the next mountaintop, and you could stop waving your torch when you saw the guy on the next mountaintop was had noticed you and was therefore waving his torch. Bechein brosha harashlishi, and third mountaintop as well. Where did they begin the torch lighting? Mehar mishcha, they would start in harazesim, which is obviously very, very close to the Makom HaMikdash. The Sartava, and then the next mountain was Sartava. Umi Sartava leGrofina, umi Grofina leChavron, umi Chavron leBeis Biltin, umi Beis Biltin loZozu Misham leMoluch Mevi malamorad Asher Roa Kol Agola leFanav Kemaduras Eish. That they would have these five mountaintops, and then the last one, we don't even have to list how many more there were, because the last one would keep on going until the whole, until he saw fires all over the place, until the whole the whole Gola was lit up like one big bonfire with all the torches on all of the different mountaintops. And that way they would get the word out very, very quickly about the Kiddush HaChodesh. So says Gemara, my masmid the Masiyan Loshon Diyukudhu, where do we find in Psukim that the word Masiyan sounds like it's lighting a fire? So says Gemara, Dechsiv, because the Pasuk describes in the Melchama that David had with the Plishtim after he defeated them and he took their Vodazaras, Vayasim David Va'anoshav. And the Targum on that Pasuk is, what does it mean, Vayisaim David Va'anoshav? Va'okedinun David. That David burnt these Avodazaras. So you see, Lashon Masin is the Lashon of lighting something on fire. Tanur Rabban, Ein Masin Masuos, they wouldn't, El Al Chodesh Nir Bizmano. They would only be Masin Masuos on a Chodesh that was a Chodesh Chaser. Lekacho, in order to be Mekadesh, day 30 as Rosh Chodesh. So Bezim was Mekadesh on that day, and that day they would that night they would be Masir Masuos to let the Bnei Gola know that that day was that Rosh Chodesh was day 30. They must say Masin, and when they would live, when would they light these torches? L'or Iburo, on the evening after Yom Shloshim, which is called the Yom HaIbur. Since if there would be Ma'aber that day, it would be considered the last day of the previous month. So that's why we call it Iburo. It's the day that could have been the Ibor of the last month, but instead we're saying, no, it's not going to be the 30th day of the previous month, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, and the night that follows, they'd be Masir Masuos to let everybody know that today was Rosh Chodesh. This means to tell me that they would light these torches and do this whole system only for a 29-day month, not for a 30-day month. My time, oh, why would we be Mechalik between a 29 and a 30-day month? Wouldn't it be a better system if we would light for every month, whether it was Mele or whether it was Chaser? And the Rishonim explained, why would that be a better system? Meaning, this seems more efficient. If you only light for the 29-day months, okay, so then you only have to light for half the months of the year, and people will realize that if they don't see the torches, that it was a Chodesh Mele. So the Rishonim explained, no, because then the Kutim wouldn't have been able to fool anybody. Because if the Kutim are going to light torches on Yom Shloshim, even without a Kiddush Beis Din, so the next day when Beis Din lights the Masuos on the Or L'Shloshim V'Echad, the Or L'Achar Shloshim V'Echad, on the night after the 31st day, everyone's going to see, well, wait a second, there were torches last night, and they'll realize that something was off. So they're not going to just take blindly whatever the Kutim are telling them. They'll realize that something went wrong. So why were they Mesakin to only be Masin Masuos when Beis Din was Mekadesh the Chodesh on day 30? So I'm Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir explains the reason they don't do it for a Chodesh Mele is Gzerim Mishum Rosh Chodesh Chaser. Because the gzer of what happens where the 30th day that Rosh Chodesh was Nikva falls out on Friday. Same as Avdi, when are they supposed to light the torches? Obviously you can't do that on Shabbos. So Be'afuke Shabbat, the only opportunity would be the following night, a Motzai Shabbos, because you can't light on Friday night. Now if you're going to say that they would also light torches for a Chodesh Malay, so when they light a Motzai Shabbos, what is everyone going to think? Also the Miti, people will make a mistake, and Amri, they're going to say that the fact that there were torches lit on Motzai Shabbos is that high chaser, who that the chodesh was really chaser, and Beis Din was koveh the chodesh on Friday. And the only reason they didn't light the torches on Friday night was because they weren't able to. Odilma, or maybe people will be confused. Maybe Malehu, it's Beis Din was koveh the chodesh as a chodesh Malay, and the Rosh Chodesh was really on Shabbos. Ubizmano Abdu, and they were lighting the torches in the proper time the night after Rosh Chodesh. So since each time it would be confusing, people would have no way of knowing whether a Motzai Shabbos torch lighting reflected a Chodesh Chaser or a Chodesh Malay. So that's why they said, you know, we're only lighting for a Chodesh Chaser. So if they saw light, then they knew that it was a Chodesh Chaser. If they didn't see light, then they would know that it's a Chodesh Malay. So says Mar of Lavid Bena Malay Bena Chaser. Still, there's another Eitza over here. They could have lit both on Malays and on Chasers, v'chi mikla Rosh Chodesh b'erev Shabbos. Oh, you're worried about what's going to be when Rosh Chodesh falls in erev Shabbos. Lo lavid klal. Have the system that if the Chodesh is Chaser, and therefore the proper night to light the torches would have been Friday night, just don't light that night because it's Friday night. And therefore, everyone would realize that Rosh Chodesh must have been Friday night if they don't see the torches on Motzei Shabbos, because you're just following the system, and everyone will realize that that you couldn't do it on Friday night. And since they did not, they would not be lighting the torches on Motzei Shabbos, and they normally do light torches on Chodesh Malay, everyone would know that the Chodesh is Chaser. So that would be a perfectly viable system. So says Gemara, that system wouldn't work either. Afilu achi asu l'miti. Still, people would make a mistake, because Amri, they would say, hi Malehu, that really the Chodesh was Malay, and they should be lighting on Motzai Shabbos. V'hai de lo avdi, the reason that they didn't light on Motzai Shabbos, in Nusi or in Nusi. I don't know what's going on in Yerushalayim. Maybe there was some sort of onus that happened that prevented them from going to the mountaintops and lighting the torches. So people are still going to be confused, and they're still going to be concerned that they don't know exactly which day is Rosh Chodesh. But if you have torches lit every single month, then there's no chashash of ones. Everyone will see. So you can't go a month where you can't have every single month where you're lighting torches. But if it's a Chodesh Chaser, where the proper night to light would be Friday night, you're not going to have anything. People aren't going to be able to necessarily be confident that that's as a result of a Chodesh Chaser and a Friday night. They might think that it's simply as a result of an ones. Says Gemara, why don't they light the torches only when it's Chodesh Malay and not when it's Chodesh Chaser? Meaning, why don't we reverse it? Why did we choose to dafka light for a Chodesh Chaser and not for a Chodesh Malay? I get you don't want to light for all of the different months, but why don't we choose dafka for a Chodesh Chaser? Why don't we reverse it? And Mele, if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Friday and they don't light torches on Motzai Shabbos because they only light for a Chodesh Malay, so then everyone will know that it's a Chodesh Chaser, and then there won't be any mistakes. So Amar Abayi, Mishum Bitul Malacha La'am, Mishnei Yamim. No, it's going to cause Bitul Malacha for people for the 2 days, specifically Rashi says of Rosh Hashanah, that when it falls on the day on 30th day of Elul, and it's only one day, so when the Masir Masuos, if they were only Masir Masuos on the Chodesh Malay, the Bnei Agola would never know whether Rosh Hashanah was 1 day or 2 days until after they already observed 2 days, because they always light the torches the following day. So if it's going to be a Chodesh Chaser and they're going to declare Rosh Hashanah on day 30, then they could be Masir Masuos the night after day 30 and day 31. Everyone go to work, because they'll know that that the previous day was already Rosh Hashanah. So then everyone will be able to go on with their lives. But if they would be only light the torches for a Chodesh Malay, they would be waiting and waiting, and every year they would have to observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So that was too much of a hardship to expect the people to observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah every single year. And that's the Bitul Malacha that we're talking about over here. Now, that's how Rashi says. Tosos over here disagrees with Rashi. And he says, Mishum Bitul Malacha La'am Shnei Yam, Pirush Mekunsh, Zayin Lecha Rosh Hashanah, Shem Espatim, Menei Golem, Yim Lacha, Beiz Yam, Bein Amali, Bein Mechaser, Al Kiavdi Achas, Yadi, Shem Yom Shosh, Menik, Vyasa, Malacha, Lemachar, Lechinam, Dachim, Kefarish, Rosh Hashanah. Says Tosos, I don't know why you had to say Rosh Hashanah, da kol Rosh Chodesh ka'i, ki lo yiragil nasas malacha, Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh there was bitul malacha, because it used to be that they didn't do malacha in Rosh Chodesh. Because I'm reading Parakarias and Megillah Omed, v'she'en bo bitul malacha la'am kigon Rosh Chodesh v'cholosh l'moed, karin arba'a, that when doing a little bit of a longer Kriyas HaTorah is not going to be too much bitul malacha for the people, like Rosh Chodesh and chol l'moed, so they would lay 4 aliyos instead of 3. Urgil l'om, Roshos v'makom yom tov l'nashim, Rosh Chodesh b'schar shalom nesatzo al ma'is egel. And everyone knows that Rosh Chodesh is a day of Yom Tov for women, at least, because they didn't participate in the Egel. Kshamalem Aaron, Pirkun Nizmei Zav, Asher Baznei Nesheichem, Yisparku Kol Ha'am, Asher Bazneiam, Avodin Hashem, Lo Aviyu, Shlo Rotzor Hashem Litein, that Aaron HaKohen gave the instructions, let all the women give their jewelry. And then the Pasuk reports that the men gave their jewelry, but the women didn't give their jewelry. So because of the women's refusal to participate in the Chet HaEgel, that's why they have Rosh Chodesh as a Yom Tov. So it is a day of Bitul Malacha. Rosh Chodesh is also a day of Bitul Malacha. That's how Tosos suggests. Turi Evan writes, Rashi doesn't want to say like Tosos, because if it were about Rosh Chodesh, then they could be Masir and Masuos only on a Malay and lift the Masuos on Lel Lamed Aleph, because since Bezin was not Mekadesh the Chodesh on Yom Lamed, they already know that it's going to be a Malay, so they could still do it. I mean, you don't have to wait till until the night that follows Lamed Aleph, by Leil Lamed Aleph, they know it's going to be a Malach, because they weren't Mekadesh the previous night. So if it was about Rosh Chodesh, you understand, they could have done it, they could have prevented people from observing 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. But says the Turi Evan, it was Dafka on Rosh Hashanah that they weren't able to do it, because on Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to just light torches on mountaintops, it's Yontif. So that's questionable. What? Why not? Meaning, the Aruch Lener asks, on that Turi Evan, he says, the Gemara in Beitza says that Havara is Mutter, even Shalol Tzorach Ochel Nefesh, because there's a principle of Mitoch. You're allowed to light fires from an existing flame, but you're allowed to light fires on Yom Tov. And then once you say, for Ochel Nefesh purposes, and once Mutter for Ochel Nefesh purposes, Mitoch Shutul Nefesh. So isn't this also a tzorech to light the torches to let everybody know when Rosh Hashanah is? Turi Evan's assumption that for Rosh Chodesh they'd be able to light on the night following day 30, right, on the 31 on the calendar, but on Rosh Hashanah they wouldn't be able to do that because you're not allowed to light torches. Mechitesi, you're not allowed to light torches. Sure you are. So in the Truas Melech he's miyashev that lighting the torches is not considered a tzorech hediot. It's not included in lach. You're only allowed to do malachos that are lechem, that are for you. This is considered tzoruch gavoa. And since it's a din on the basin, midar raisa, to let the Am know when Rosh Chodesh is going to be hukva, that's considered a mitzvah need. It's considered a tzoruch gavoa. And since it could be done al yidei shluchin, there's another way to do it. It would be usher to light those torches on Rosh Hashanah itself. I don't know. The Aruch Lener sounds like he has a stronger taina. Anyway, we also said you're not allowed to do because of bittul malacha for 2 days, right? So Tos said because of Rosh Chodesh. Rashi Megillah brings a riot from the pasuk. Pasuk says Hashem nisteres shem biyom ha-ma'aseh, that erev Rosh Chodesh is called the Yom Ha-Ma'aseh. So it sounds like, why is erev Rosh Chodesh called the Yom Ha-Ma'aseh? It sounds like Rosh Chodesh itself is not a Yom Ha-Ma'aseh, that it's not a day that one does malacha. Turi Evan says, nah, you can't say the pasuk saying that Rosh Chodesh is not a Yom Ha-Ma'aseh, just because women don't do malacha as a result of their refusal to participate in the Maisa, in the Cheda Egel, because that doesn't have a makar in the Gemara at all, and it's not even listed to Rabbanon, and therefore says to Riyavin, it must be that Bizmash B'Smin Shayakayim, Rosh Chodesh was also about Siyas Malacha for everybody, that it's not just about the women. If it were about the women, there wouldn't be a pasuk telling me not to do malacha. First of all, there's no Gemara that says that it was a Yom Tov for women, and we wouldn't call it Yom Tov if it was only a Yom Tov for half of the Jewish population. So it must be that it was a Yom Tov for the men also. And Bizmash B'Smin Shayakayim, they had such a Yom Tov that they had such an Issur Malacha on Rosh Chodesh, because they were bringing a Karban Musaf that day, and that was on behalf of all the Klal Yisrael. So just like Erev Pesach, Ach Chatzos, because of the involvement in the Karbanos, they wouldn't do Malacha. So too, there must have been an Issur Malacha on Rosh Chodesh as well. The Ritva explains the Pasuk that their minig was that men also didn't do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh, and we're only knowing that women don't do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So it says very similarly, the Ritva says explicitly in the Radak and Sefer Shmuel on that pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perk Chav pasuk test that pasuk that Rashi quotes Hashem Nistar Sham Biyom Hamaaseh. The Radak says that the reason they didn't do Malacha was because the carbon of Rosh Chodesh, there were a lot of people that would take off from work to come be Meshtachav Elifnei Hashem as a result of the carbon of Rosh Chodesh. So that was a day where Malacha was at least more limited on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. So the Gemara tells us, Ketzalei Masir Masuos. The Mishnah had said, how would they lift the torches? Mavin Klunsos, they would bring these poles of Erez, the Mishnah said. So says Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Arba Aminei Arazamein. There are four types of Erez wood. There's Erez Katrom, Eitz Shemen, Uvrosh. So there's Erez, there's Katrom, there's Eitz Shemen, and there's Vrosh. So Katrom, Amarav, Adra. Katrom is what's called Adra wood. The Beit Rabbi Shila Amri, Mavliga, that it's Mavliga wood. Va'armila zu gulmish. And some say that Katrom is gulmish. Upliga de Rab Bar Avuna, and this is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that there are four types of arazim, is against Rabba Bar Avuna. Damar Rab Bar Avuna, Amri Bei Rav, asara mine arazim, that there are 10 types of arazim. Shnemar, etin bamidbar erez, shita vahadas ve'etz shemen, asim ba rava barosh titar visashor yachtov. So erez, hainu arza. Shita is turnisa. Hadas is asa. Beit Shemen is a parsima. Barosh is Barta. Titar is Shaga. Tashur is Shurivna. So all of these are types of Arazim. Says Mara, wait, you told me there were 10. Hani Shiva Havu, that's 7, that's not 10. Kiyas Ravdim, Yomro, Sifa Aleim, they added 3 more to the list. Alonim, Almonim, Almugim. Alonim is what's commonly called in the times of Chazal, apparently, Butmi. Almugim is Belute. Almugin is Ksisa. So Ikadami, and some say that those 3 that they added are in fact Aronim, Armonim, and Almugin. The Aronim Ari, Armonim Dulvi, Almugin is Ksisa. Okay, whatever the identity of these 10 types of eras are, those are the types of eras that we're referring to. So all of these qualify as Arazim. Tosa says, L'may nafkamina. You need to tell me what's called an eras, what's not called an eras. Why do I need to know these things? So Tosa writes, nafkamina is l'mekha chumemker. The Marsha Maseches Babasu explains that if you say you're selling somebody eras wood, and you have to know, can you only provide him with these 4 minim that we mentioned first, or all 10 minim that we mentioned? Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this din, because now, b'lashon b'nei adam, eras refers to something else. So it's not a nafkamina anymore unless they come to such an agreement that they're going to call it by whatever the Torah calls it, or whatever it was called at some other point in history. The Achronim point out there are other nafkaminas as well. The Medrash says that the tzivoy to build the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi is supposed to be with 8 eras. So what type of wood are you allowed to use in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi? So that's going to be a nafkamina ledina. Another nafkamina is by the 8 eras of the Metzora and the Parah Aduma, the process involved using an 8 eras. So what counts as eras? So there are other nafkaminas aside from Mekach HaMemkar. Tosos pick the most common nafkamina. The most common nafkamina is Mekach HaMemkar, that people sell and buy different kinds of wood. So Yishayahu Novi is misnave about a nachal that's going to go from the Beis HaMikdash Lasalavo, that even a tzi adir, even the strongest type of boat, is not going to be able to withstand the waves and the current of this nachal. So Amarav Zuburgi Gedola, this is talking about a very big boat. Hechi Avzu, why would they make such a giant boat? What do they need this boat for? So the Gemara is going to explain that they had a whole system by which they would mine the Atzei Almogim that was growing in the bottom of the water. So how would they get it out from the bottom of the water? It was very, very valuable wood. So Maisi Shisalti Gavri, they would bring 6,000 men, Betresi Archishata, and they would work for a full year. Va'amrila Tresi Alti Gavri Beshiti Archishata. Some say no, it was 12,000 men working for 6 months. Vitani Lachala, they would take this boat and they would fill it with sand. They would just have people working for a year, for 6 months, thousands of people just filling the boat with sand, Adish Shachna, until the boat sank to the bottom of the ocean, until it sat at the bottom of the water. The water apparently was not so deep because the top of the boat was still above the water. So it wasn't that the boat was underwater. It's just the bottom of the boat was at the bottom, was at the floor of the water. V'nachus paramurai, and then they would have a guy who was a good swimmer go down. V'katra atuni dekitna, and he would tie a very strong rope of biksisa on the roots of this almogim wood. V'kataluhu besvinta, and he would tie the other end on the boat, and then they would start unloading the sand. Vinatli chala v'shadu levrai, they would start throwing the sand off of the boat. V'kame de medallion, as the boat became lighter, akro amastia, it would uprooted all the almugim wood roots, and it would bring them up. Umachlu v'alchada train bekasba, and the almugim was so expensive that 1 litra of almugim, you can get 2 litros of kesef, who's double the price of silver. That's why they went through such trouble in order to be able to mine it, in order to be able to get this almugim wood. Thas parvasahavya, and there are 3 ports that they would go with boats to the depths of the sea in order to take to get to mine precious things. Tarti be Ramai, 2 of them are by the Romans, v'chada de be Parsai, and 1 of them is by the Parasim. De be Ramai, the ones by the Romans are Miskan Ksisa, the Nemalim that they would take out the Atzei almugim. De be Parsai, Miskan Marganyasa, and by the Parsim they would take out precious pearls. Umekarya parvasa de mashmahig, and because it was so chash of the Parsi port, it was called Namal Hamalucha. It was called the royal port. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol shita v'shita shnot l'nachum Yerushalayim. Every 8 eras that the Nachum would take from, if I could just ask everyone to mute themselves, I'm getting some feedback here. All the 8 eras that they would take from Yerushalayim. that when they destroyed Yerushalayim, the Nachum stole all the Eitz Haaretz. Asra Kodesh Baruch Hu lachzirun lah. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to return it back to Yerushalayim. Shenemar etein b'midbar eretz shita. So from the fact that it says the lashon of etein and not eta, not that I will plant, but that I will give, sounds like he's going to take the wood from somewhere else and bring it here. So it's telling us that same wood that the Nachrim took from us, HaKodesh Baruch Hu is going to return to us. Ve'ein midbar el Yerushalayim. And the midbar is referring to Yerushalayim. How do I know Yerushalayim is called the midbar? Shenemar tzion midbar hoisa. So the pasuk is saying, Etein b'midbar, Eretz Shita. I'm going to give back to the midbar. I'm going to give back to Yerushalayim the Eretz Shita, this wood that was so expensive, that was stolen from Yerushalayim. A second agadic teaching of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, kol olam Torah v'ena melamda. Anyone who learns Torah but does not go and teach Torah to other people, Doma lahadas b'midbar. He's like a hadas that has a pleasant fragrance, but it's in the midbar where no one could smell it. There's no one there. There's no one to appreciate it. So you learn Torah, but you don't let others learn from you. You don't teach the Torah to other people. This is a Daf Yomi coincidence. Last night was the Chabad Kinnus HaShluchim, and every year they play the clip of the Rebbe saying, if you know Aleph, teach Aleph. If you know Beis, teach Beis. Right? You're supposed to teach whatever Torah you know. You have to try to share it with other people. Otherwise, you're a hadas in the midbar, and no one's able to benefit from it. Others say that no, anyone who teaches Torah in a place where there aren't a lot of Talmidei Chachamim available to teach, he's like a hadas b'midbar. The chaviv, that it's so appreciated. Person's walking in the midbar, they're looking for some beauty, they're looking for something that they can appreciate, and they find one hadas and they smell it, they're so appreciative of it. There are places where there is no one to teach Torah, and people are thirsty for it, people are starving for it. So you send the Talmud Chacham to a place like that, and he teaches Torah, he's so much more appreciated than a Talmud Chacham was in a place where there are so many other Talmidei Chachamim that are able to teach Torah. And then a third teaching of Rabbi Yochanan. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Oilem lo v'chavim sheilem takana. Woe unto the v'chavim that there's no way to fix what they did. Shneim are tachas and choshes of izav, tachas barzel of kesef, tachas etzim choshes, tachas avonim barzel. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to return everything that the v'chavim stole from the Jewish people. Bekifle kiflayim, he's going to give back way more than they stole from us. But tachas Rabbi Akiva v'chaverev, my mevi'in. But how are you going to replace Rabbi Akiva v'chaverev? People who were killed al kiddush Hashem, what can you bring in their place? Well, we're going to kill more of them. That's not going to help us. That doesn't bring back Rabbi Akiva. That's not Mimali de Chisaron. Valeim Omer v'nikesi damam lo nikesi. And that's why the pasuk says nikesi damam lo nikesi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give any cleanliness from that avera. Umayinu imasin masuos base built in. So now back to our originally scheduled story over here. So where would they lift the masuos from? From base built in. My base built in. What exactly is base built in? What's that place? So Amarav Rav identifies the place called Beis Biltin is that zoo Biram. It's a place called Biram. So the Mishnah said that they'd be Moluch, maybe Malu, Mur, they'd wave the torches till everyone saw the Madura Seish. My Gola, what was the place called Gola that we said that all of Gola saw this? So I'm Rav Yosef Zu Pumbedisa. It means Pumbedisa. That was the place where there was the main center of population, of Jewish population in Bavel. So that's how they would let all the Bnei Bavel know. My Madura Seish, what does it mean that the whole Gola looked like one big Madura Seish? So Tana, it means that after the Bryce explains that after the Bnei Gola saw the guy on the mountain waving the torches, everyone would take their own torches and go to their rooftops and light their torches on the rooftops. So the whole place, the whole city was lit up with torches on the rooftops. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, not only in the places that they mentioned in the Mishnah would they be Masih and Masuos on the mountaintops, Afharim, even Afcharim, even places that are called Charim, V'chayor, V'geder, V'chavroseha, other places that we're listing over here. So the Gemara explains, Ikeda Amri, some say that these places are Shimon Elazar is mentioning that were not mentioned in the Mishnah are Beni Beni Avukaimi. They're in between the locations mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentions a few distant locations from each other, so Rabbi Shimon Elazar is filling in the spaces in between. Others say, no, it's on the other side, meaning meaning we're going, the Mishnah lists in one direction from Harazesim, and the Rabbi Shimon Elazar is filling in the other direction. Mar Chashav Dahai Gisa, Mar Chashav Dahai Gisa. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Bein Kol Achas V'Achas, in between each of the places listed in the Mishnah, is Shmona Parsa'os. There's a distance of 8 Parsa'os. Kama Havilahu, what was the distance from the first place that there'd be Masir Masu'os until the last place? Tlasin V'Tartin, 32 Parsa'os from the first to the last place. And so, and there were 5 locations. So there are, it's 8 Parsa'os between each one, because there, if there are 5 locations, that means there are 4 gaps in between the locations. So each of those, if it was 32 Parsa'os in total, each gap must be 8 Parsa'os. Says Gemara, V'ayidna Tuva Havu, but if you look at Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't line up. It's much, much more than 32 Parsa'os between Harazesim, which is right next to Yerushalayim, until the end of the border of Eretz Yisrael, which borders on Bavel. So how could it only be 32 Parsa'os? So Amar Abaye, istatume istatum lu darke. That now that there's Churban, all the straight paths and roads have been closed up, and therefore it takes it's a longer distance to travel. But in fact, when you have straight roads, that's how long it would be. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says when Hoshea is misnave on the Churban of the Aseret HaShvatim, lechein hinni sach es darkeich basirim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to close the roads with thorns and thistles and things that get in the way, so you're not going to be able to travel there. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Mehacha, that we learned this from that there was an Arichus HaDerech from the following pasuk Tichsiv, because the Megillus Eicha says when it talks about the Churban, is Sivosai Iva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sort of bent and corrupted the paths, the ways after the Churban. So that's why it seems like it's so much more than 32 Parsos, even though it isn't really more than 32 Parsos. There's an interesting discussion in the Poskim that relates to this. There's a Machlokes Poskim, how long, how far a meal is, whether it's 18 minutes of walk, 22 minutes, or 22 and a half minutes, or 24 minutes, right? 3 shittos, 18, 22 and a half, or 24 minutes. Chassam Sofer writes in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Siman Pei Tes, and in his Chidushim and Shabbos Taf Lamed Hei, in the name of the Sefer Kaftor Veferach, that he measured Yerushalayim to the Tzuk, where there would be Dochev, the Seir La'azazel, and it's a 3-hour walk, with a 180-minute walk. The Gemara in Yuma says that according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, the distance was 10 mil. Ooh, so if you have an 180-minute walk, and it's been tested that it takes 180 minutes to walk there, and it's 10 mil, so l'chori, you have a raya berura that a meal is 18 minutes. However, the Chassam Sofer says, not a good raya. Eretz Tzvi Ksiv. Eretz Yisrael is called an Eretz Tzvi, and the Gemara Darshan in Maseches Gittin, that Eretz Yisrael has been shrunken. So you can't bring a raya from a medita that you do nowadays to what it was in the times of the Churban Bayit. Why is Eretz Yisrael called an Eretz Tzvi? If you look at a deer, it's such a muscular animal, it looks like its skin is too tight on its body, like it's wearing a suit that's too tight on it, because Eretz Yisrael has been contracted. It's holding so much into it because it's been shrunken. So says the Chassam Sofer, it's not necessarily a raya to the 18-minute meal. So the Marsham has a tshuva in Chelek Beis in Samach Dalet, where he says, first of all, in Meshivin Medivrei Agada, you're not going to bring a raya against that from Eretz Yisrael and the Skat. No, these are Divrei Agada. This isn't like an observation of an event that happened where there was an earthquake and souls and scouting. So you can't bring a raya from Divrei Agada. That's a klal in Halach and John, Shumas Sadashin writes. And Adravi says, if you want to bring a raya from Divrei Agada, look at our Gemara. It says in Statmu Adrachim that why did the distance become greater? Not because the distance became greater, just because the paths, the direct paths, were no longer accessible, no longer available. Sounds like the land is exactly the same size that it used to be. In Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Shuvas, in the Shelus Yaivitz, in Chelek Alves and he has many, many rayos that he thinks that Eretz Yisrael was Niskatna at some point in history. Okay, so says now weiter in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, new Mishnah. Chatzar Gedol Eisav Yerushalayim. There was a large chatzar in Yerushalayim, Beis Yazik HaSid Nikris. It was called Beis Yazik. L'Sham Kol Eidim Wisconsin. That's where all the Eidim would gather together throughout Shabbos when they would come to be made about the Kiddush HaKadosh. Bezin Botno Sam Sham. And Bezin would ask them their questions there. Usudas Gedol. So Jerusalem. Beis Din made them these great meals in these in that chatzer. Bishul shirugil lavo. So they throw a big kiddush on Shabbos, where it might be Rosh Chodesh, where they're having people come be made, so that everyone will want to come. You know, nothing has changed. You want the Jews to be happy, so you give them a lot of food. So barishona lo hayu zaz misham kol hayom. Initially, when the Eidim would come from outside of the tchum, people wouldn't leave there all day. They would stay in the chatzer. They wouldn't leave the chatzer because they had gone outside of their tchum already. And the halach is that if you leave your tchum Shabbos, then wherever you end up, you only have 4 amos. You're not allowed to go more than 4 amos. So if you're in an area that's surrounded by mechitzos, that has a din of dalet amos. So you could stay in that area. But then Rav Gamliel Zaken came along and he made a takana that they can go 2,000 amos in every direction, meaning they have a new tchum Shabbos. But not only for the people who came for Kiddush HaChodesh. If you have a midwife that comes to deliver a baby and leaves her tchum to do so, someone who comes to a fireman, comes to save people from a fire, or someone who comes to defend people who are being attacked, a community watch or something, people who are coming to save people from a raging river, or from a collapsed building, they take on the tchum of the city that they arrived in, and therefore they have alpayim ama, they're granted 2,000 amos in each and every direction. That this Mishnah is the basis for one of the more famous psakim of Rav Moshe. In Or Chaim Chelek Dalet, Simon Pei, Rav Moshe was asked about this group of people that got together and they respond to medical emergencies, and he describes like a whole paragraph of why it's important, why you can't just wait till the doctors and the 911 comes. He says, because response time, it's all about response time. If it takes 15 minutes to get there, and a guy hasn't been breathing 15 minutes, but you can get someone there who's in davening in the shul next door, and you can get there in 30 seconds, you're going to save a lot of lives. So he describes, he makes a nice pitch for Hatzalah, and then he says, so now a Hatzalah guy goes outside of his tchum on Shabbos, so now you want to return, is he allowed to come back? So Moshe uses this Mishnah as the basis that we give him a new tchum Shabbos, we allow him the ability to move around, to encourage him to want to go back. So Moshe took it a little bit further, and he said, even to drive back from Hatzalah mission, because if he's not going to go in the first place, knowing that he can't drive back, he may be more hesitant to go next time. So that's going to be a pikuach nefesh. Not everyone agreed with Rav Moshe about that. And I saw they have a different psak from Rav Shlomo Zalman, but that's Rav Moshe's psak. So anyway, Ubaylu, Beis Yazak Tanan or Beis Yazak Tanan? Is it with an ayin or without an ayin? So Beis Yazak Tanan, Lishna Ma'al Yehu, that it's a Lashon Chashivus, Tchsive Yazkeu Vaisaklehu, that they surrounded the Kerem with a fence around it because of its Chashivus in order to guard it. So we also were saying that it's a Makom Chashiv that was surrounded with the fence. Odilma Beis Yozak Tanan, or maybe it should be read Beis Yozak Lishna de Tsaruhu. It's a Lashon of Tsar, that people who are there are like stuck there, they're like in a jail. Kedachsiv Vu Asur Ba'azikim, it's like being stuck in chains. Amar Abayi Tashma, I'll bring you a Raya. Sudos Kedolos Hayosalem Sham Kedeshu Regilim Lavo. They made Sudos in order that people would come. Sounds like it wasn't so bad. Sounds like it wasn't so much of a Tsar. Adraba, they were enjoying a nice Kiddush. So Dilma Tartiava Avdubuhu says, well, no, maybe there were two things that were there. It was a Tsar because they were stuck, they couldn't move, they weren't allowed to leave outside of the chatzer, and in order to calm them down and to make them happy while they're stuck there, so they made the golden handcuffs. You know, they gave them food while they were stuck there. But maybe in a chinami they were stuck. So says the Mishnah. Now Ketzar Botzmanos Eidim. How would they check the Eidim? Zukshma Rishon Botzmanos Rishon. The first pair to come, they would be Bodik first. Machnisna as a Gadlush Ben Vom Lo. They would bring the Gadlush Ben and they would say to him, Emor Ketzar Risa Salvana. Tell me how you saw the moon. Was it pointing in the direction of the sun or away from the sun, the crescent of the moon? The Tzvona Ledroma, to the north or to the south? Kama Yugavoa, how high in the sky was it? Ulayin Hayanota, which direction was the Pekima Salavana facing? The Kama Yerachav, how wide was it? Imam Lefnei Chama, if they would say that the Pekima Salavana was facing toward the sun, Lomar Klum, we know he's a liar. That doesn't happen. The sun is the moon reflects the light of the sun, so the dark side of the moon wouldn't be facing the sun. So then they'd bring the second guy and they would examine him. In if they were saying the same thing, then we would take their edus. And all the other sets of edim, they would just ask some basics. They wouldn't go through with detailed questioning. Once they already had the of two edim, they knew they were going to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, they would just ask basics to all the other other people. They didn't really need to ask the other people anything. No, they just didn't want them to go out dejected that they were useless. Because they wanted to encourage them to come back a different time. The Gra is a beautiful deed. It says, Im nimtzu divrei mechuvanim. Why not just say, Im divrei mechuvanim? He says, nimtzu means that they didn't say the exact same words. That Beis Din had to assess what they said and see if it was the same. If they said the exact same words as each other, that's a red flag. Then you know that they must have been in cahoots with each other to be able to tell a story. So it's only Nimtzu Devarim Chavanim, then the Eidos is going to be Kayam. So okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara on the bottom of Amid Beis. Have a great day, everybody.